That was beautiful. You know, we always, always have reason to worship. In Ephesians, it says, God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And that's reason to come and gather and rejoice and to thank God for his grace, mercy, and the free gift of life that is made available to us in Jesus Christ. So we're glad that you've come today to praise the Lord and say thank you for the many blessings that are not only ours in Christ, but are ours still to come, for God is faithful to provide. Also, in a minute, you'll meet just a few teachers from our preschool that are worshiping with us today. We're going to recognize public education teachers, our preschool teachers, our nursery care worker, and whatnot. And I hope that after worship, you'll tell them thank you for the incredible job and ministry that they have with our young people. I hope all of you are hungry. I mean, real hungry. We have a ton of food, lots of food, plenty of food, an abundance of food. If you don't go to lunch after worship, then I'll go home weighing a ton. So please, over in the fellowship hall when worship is over, we've got plenty for everybody. So come and enjoy good fellowship and good food. I hope that you will do that. But for now, if you will, turn to those around you, and with the peace that we have in Jesus Christ, welcome one another with that same peace. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Please, in the call to worship. We gather in anticipation, seeking an encounter with our holy God.
God comes amongst us when we least expect it.
God invites us to wrestle with our questions, our doubts, and mistakes.
And yet God comes to call us each by name and bless us.
Let us worship God together, and let us pray. God, we're gathered as a people who believe that you can indeed touch our lives with your grace, fill our hearts with your love, show us the way with the gift of your wisdom, and by the strength of your Holy Spirit, Lead us to be a people who actually live by and do your will. So as you gently pull us into the embrace of your welcome, lift our burdens, ease our pain, so that we might be more willing to let you rule our lives with your steadfast compassion. Thank you for Jesus who forgives us, who dies so we can live, who rises so we can be lifted into your presence. For it's in his name that we give all thanks and all praise. Amen. And let us continue to give God our thanks and praise. If you'll grab your pew hymnal, it's hymn 281. Let's stand and sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," hymn 281. You may be seated. You know, when we confess our sins, we do so because it's a strong reminder that we cannot be all that God intends us to be on our own. We do often fall short. We need God's help. But there's also a joyful aspect to turning to God with our confession. It's because when we turn to God, we are met with grace, a grace we didn't earn, a grace we don't deserve. But it is a grace that supplies all that we need to live as God's children. So let us approach the throne of grace, confessing together, and be transformed by God's welcome. Almighty God, we come seeking your light and truth. Scripture and experience teach us that we are a people of darkness, prone to deceit. In the light of your holiness, help us to see ourselves as we are, unmask our disguises, pierce our pretense. Help us to stand before you naked but unafraid, trusting not in ourselves, but solely in the power of your love to cover all our offenses and clothe us with the righteousness of Christ. Teach us your way, O Lord, that we may walk in your truth. Amen. May turning to God with the awareness of our sin not be something that keeps us down, but may the good news that we are indeed forgiven in Jesus Christ give us courage to continue the journey of faith. Do know beyond any shadow of a doubt that thanks be to Jesus Christ, your sins have been washed away and are remembered no more. And because we have this new life and can make our journey in God, let's stand and express our thanks as we sing together the Gloria Patri. Be seated. What I want to do is, because we're back to school, yes, I don't even know where the summer went. It was more like a flashbulb going off for me. But anyway, we're back to school, as you well know. And I do think, because of the incredible task of teachers and because of the wonderful nurture of our young people, we need to offer them our prayers. And pray for those who need energy to keep up with them. But anyway, what I want to do is I want to recognize first any of you here that are in public education. It doesn't matter if it's elementary or junior high or high school or college. If you are a teacher, if you're an educator, if you are part of the education system, will you please stand and remain standing so we can recognize you? Will our teachers that are here this morning please stand? And as you see, we have several. Y'all can remain standing because I would also like, we do education here in church. And one of the programs we do during the summer that is such a great way, not only for our kids, but kids in the community, is VBS. If you volunteered at VBS this summer, will you please stand and remain standing? VBS volunteers. As you know, we have an incredible ministry right over here in this building that goes Monday through Friday, early in the morning, till on into the evening, and that's our PELC. We do have a few of our teachers here this morning. Would our PELC teachers stand so we can see who you are and thank you for the ministry? Their home church is Huntington, but y'all may not know it, but we pray for you often and regular here on Sunday mornings, and know that we do that. And then, of course, our director, we wouldn't be anywhere without Sandy. Sandy, thank you so much for what you do. And gosh, our enrollment this year is up to what, 90? 89, which is the highest we have been so far in 5 years of being open. So that is truly a gift. What y'all do, I think, ought to be applauded every week or at least every day, because whether it's public school, PELC, maybe, look at the number of people standing. God wants us to learn and grow in knowledge. And one of the benefits of that is so that we can understand this God who wants to bless us, his people, and walk with us through this life. So our education is so, so important. Next, I want to introduce somebody that's been with us for years, taking care of the youngest in our midst each and every Sunday. That's Miss Sheila. Wave your hand, Miss Sheila, so that we can thank you for how every Sunday you are here to do that. And she has been here doing that for more than 12 years. So thank you so much. Know that you are loved by many. We also have our Sunday school teachers, Ron Schaefer, please stand. He teaches over in the conference room. And we have Kathy Hauser, please stand. Kathy teaches here in our bridal room right off the sanctuary. They may be small, but they are strong and powerful. Is Maria with us? Maria is not with us today. Well, what I want to do is for our Sunday school teachers is we want to give you a thank you for teaching people God's word Sunday morning after Sunday morning. And so, Ron, for you and Miss Sheila, we have a gift for each one of you. And again, we can't thank you enough. While we're talking about education, Mary Leah Duran has just done a phenomenal job for several years, chairing our Christian Ed Committee. And she's done that with passion, energy, and organization. Mary Leah, seriously, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You help us be the church that God calls us to be, and we appreciate that. So I'm going to pray for teachers, then I'm going to pray for students. But for all you teachers out there, and for all of us, let us lift them up in prayers. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have given your law to guide us in a life of love, and you have appointed teachers to interpret your will. Create in those who instruct your people a mind to study your word and good understanding so that we may all learn your truth and do it gladly for the sake of Christ our Master. We do give you thanks for all teachers. Thank you for how they give themselves to others every day in the classroom. They're called to serve and instruct the next generation of this land and our world, and so we ask your Holy Spirit to rest mightily upon them for the tireless energy that they give each and every day. Be their strength and refuge, and may the grace you provide be sufficient. Father, fill their hearts with strength so that they may rise to every challenge and not grow weary. Fill them with your wisdom so they make good judgment when helping and guiding others. Fill them with your peace so that when stress and anxiety comes, as we know it will, see to it it does not overcome them. Fill them with your joy so that with passion they may be infectious to all our students. And allow them to always be Christ-like, both in word and deed, a Christ-like example incarnate as they teach and care for our loved ones. Keep schools and classrooms safe, we pray. Protect them from evil and harm. Allow the community truly to support and love them as they carry out such a terrific endeavor and ministry. Let the reign of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial love be the atmosphere of our PELC and even our public systems of education. Continue to give Sandy to lead as she continues to work with so many others. Let our teachers see our children and families the way that you see them. And let the wonder of all you have created make people interested in learning together so that we may take hold of this good creation that you have made for us and enjoy its blessing. Today we do thank you for the ministry of all the educators in our midst, for how you do gift them and equip them with your Holy Spirit. God, we rejoice and thank you for the ministry of the PELC. Do continue it in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our all in all. Amen. And now I just want to ask if there's anybody at preschool, in kindergarten, in elementary school, junior high, high school, college, higher education. If you're a student, would you stand so we can see you and recognize you? Just stand for a minute if you are a student of any age or grade. And we have several folks standing. And you'll have double duty. You'll get double prayer. Let's pray for them also. Let's pray. Eternal God, your wisdom is greater than our small minds can attain, and your truth shows up our little learning. To those who study, give curiosity, imagination, and patience to wait and work for insight. As we see children and young adults growing up in an uncertain and confusing world, show them that your ways give more life than the ways of the world, but that learning and education can help them apply the great truths you reveal. Help students take failure not as a measure of their worth, but as an opportunity for a new start. Keep alive their joy in your creation as they study and learn each day. Keep them safe, keep them loved, keep them protected as you raise up a community to nurture them in the love of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you so for letting us pray for you, and just know that those prayers will continue. You know, worship is giving ourselves to God. It's when we see how good God is and the great blessing He wants for our lives. Hopefully the response is, well, like, here I am, you can have me, you can have all of me, because I know you are so good and can make me such a blessing. And so worship is coming and just saying, here I am, Lord, I am yours. We do pass a plate. Ministry requires resources. But what it requires more than anything is you. Whether it be a portion of your resources, your time, your talents, God needs us to be a people that are willing to give some of that blessing He has provided so that we can become a blessing to the world. So with that in mind, let us bring forth our offerings. God, thank you for how you each and every day supply our daily bread and even some of those things we might take for granted. Thank you for those bigger blessings like the roof over our head that protects us each night and the warm beds in which we sleep. Thank you for minds that were made to know you and hearts that were created to love you. As we give thanks for how good you are to us, bless these offerings that we make. Use us and use them many times over to bless the world around us, a world in need that is needing your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated unless you're one of our young ones. If you're one of our young ones, come on down. Do we have any takers today? Yes, we do. Thanks, Michael. And she's back again. Hi, Lillian. All right. Do you know what this is, Lillian? What is it? A bent spoon. Can y'all see this? It's a bent spoon. See? How easy would it be to eat your cereal with this? Yeah, it'd be kind of hard. I bet if I used it to like have a bowl of soup, I'd probably get soup on me trying to use it. Because it's been out of shape, isn't it? Yeah. Spoons don't work as well when they're bent out of shape. You know, spoons aren't the only thing that can get bent out of shape. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but one time I got really upset. And my dad said, "Brian, why are you so bent out of shape?" He said that because I was angry. He wanted me to calm down. I'd gotten like the spoon. I'd gotten bent out of shape. I didn't quite look like I was supposed to, and nor did I work as well as I was made to. Well, I want to read you a story about somebody that's been out of shape. There's a woman, and I don't know quite exactly what was wrong, but her bones got bent out of shape. I don't know if I've got a friend that I appreciate very much. His back is bent out of shape, and he has to walk like this, and it's no fun walking like that because he can't straighten up even if he wanted to. Well, there's going to be a woman that comes to Jesus who's bent out of shape. But there's going to be somebody else in the story who gets bent out of shape, and I want y'all to see if y'all can tell who it is and what makes them like the spoon, bent out of shape. This is from the Gospel of Luke, and it says, "On a Sabbath, which means Sunday, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. A woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years was there. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw the woman, he called her forward and he said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, a Sunday, because he had broken that rule not to work on the Sabbath, the leader, the ruler of the synagogue, said to the people, 'There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not the Sabbath.'" Happy with that. He said, "You hypocrite. Don't you untie your donkey on the Sabbath and lead your donkey to get a drink? Even so, it was necessary for me to heal this woman who'd been suffering for over 18 years. 18 years. The woman had to live like this until she met Jesus. and was restored to a much better condition. But in that story, who got bent out of shape? The woman physically, her back was out of shape. Jesus straightened it. But who got bent out of shape? There was a guy in charge of the church. And they had a rule, on Sunday you don't do any work. Jesus, you just did the work of healing. How dare you? And Jesus says, hey, what's more important, your silly rule not to work, or taking care of somebody in need? What's more important, maybe breaking this rule not to work on Sunday and showing God's love to somebody that needs it? You see, the synagogue ruler got bent out of shape like this spoon because he was more concerned about rules than he was people. He cared more about the law than he did showing God's love. What that should tell us is God's love is what's most important of all. And I hope you remember that. That if you see somebody, quote, bent out of shape, if you see somebody in trouble, you'll be willing to help them immediately like Jesus did the woman. That's why he came to this earth, to forgive our sins, because we were bent out of shape. And he wanted to enable us to live as God's people. So let's thank him and ask for his love to fill our hearts. Let's pray. God, thank you that you're a God that comes to love his people. And we just pray that we'd really be open to that love that you want to put in our hearts. We pray that we really would be available to you and the love that you want to put in our very souls. And thank you for Jesus Christ, who not only talked about it, but showed it and demonstrating it by giving his life as a sacrifice for our sins on a cross. Help us to go forth and show that same love to others as he did for us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Y'all, thanks for coming up and tell you about bent out of shape spoons. I appreciate it very much. Y'all can go back to your seats. Y'all give them a round of applause for coming up and sharing. Yeah, that's right, Lillian. You can clap too. Good deal. All right. You want to preach? Okay. Yeah. I think she's ready. Let's sing our next hymn. It's Great Is Thy Faithfulness, 276. Grab your pew Bibles and let's sing that together.
Thank you.
seated. If you want to grab your pew Bible, I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. And what we have in verses 19 through 31 is a call to persevere because, you see, we have access to God, full access. We can go into the very throne room of our Creator and there be welcomed. And so the author is saying, man, let's go there and learn God's ways and receive God's strength rather than turn to the ways of the world. And so let us hear what is said to us this morning. But let me first ask God's blessing. Lord, as your word goes forth, let it not return void, but may it indeed accomplish your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For if we willfully persist in sin after having received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be observed by those who have spurned the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Find a quiet place.
Thank you, choir. We're going to be in Genesis 32. We're going to return looking at Jacob. We saw him fleeing home because he had really done some bad things. But in his time away, he has lived a little more rightly, and he certainly prospered materially by the world's standards. He has achieved much. But this story is really about being in a struggle. You know, if you've had to struggle with your relationships, if you had to struggle with your careers, gosh, maybe you've had to struggle with both. If you've struggled with your faith and your theology and even with God, then you know that that's really a hard place to be in, tough place, can leave us wounded. But the key is in these struggles, do we do what the choir just sang? Do we draw near to the heart of God? Because if we do, He can touch our lives and transform us so that regardless of our circumstances, we can live as confident, hopeful people. What we're going to read is a story that reminds us if we could just learn in those struggles to let go and let God, we would find that we are a lot better off. So I'm going to read to you about Jacob, who is now returning those that he wronged. And we're going to see what happens as he struggles with whatever the outcome is going to be. I'm going to read Genesis 32, and I'm going to begin in verse 22. The same night he got up, and he took his two wives, his two maids, his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, and he sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I'll not let you go unless you bless me." So he said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "What is it that you may ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, for saying, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you've ever been up all night and found yourself unable to sleep because you're mulling over a problem or an intense situation in your life where you really have no control over the details, then I think you're sitting in the setting of Jacob that night. If you've ever been worried about the outcome of a situation, you don't know whether it's going to go this way or that, and it's kept you awake throughout the whole evening, then you know what it's like to be Jacob. If you've ever realized you must confront your sin or a mistake of the past, and you have no idea how others will respond when you seek and desire amends, then you're where Jacob is that night. If you've wanted things to turn out well, but you're not sure if they will at all, or which way they're going to go, then you're familiar with this wide awake struggle during the darkness of night. We catch up with our hero, Jacob, today on the muddy banks of the Jabbok River. 20 have passed since he left Bethel, where God promised to go with him and guide him through all his days, which so far is exactly what God has done. In this productive period of Jacob's life, he accumulates a couple of wives, 11 children, a host of servants, and a wealth of cattle. He's left behind his father-in-law Laban, and he is preparing to meet his estranged brother Esau. The next morning, those two are going to come face to face. He's going to find him face to face with the brother that he robbed and ran away from so many years ago. Jacob longs for home, but he has no idea how the brother that he has wronged will react to his return. As a safety measure, he leaves the family further behind him to travel in case things don't work out so well for himself. As night comes, Jacob separates himself from people, from possessions, and he enters into a life and death struggle for purpose and for meaning. I know that anybody here who's walked through a dark night of the soul, anyone here who's ever been afraid to turn their face toward home, or found themselves in a wrestling match, not only with others but with God, can identify with this ancient struggle of a middle-aged man named Jacob. Verse 24 says something significant. It tells us that Jacob was left alone. Alone. Reminded me of that verse, "Be still and know that I am God." If only we could do that. It is hard for us to be still these days because we stay so busy. God can and God does use times of solitude. He uses those times of solitude, even if they're in the dark, to get us into a much deeper introspection, evaluation, and alteration. And God often does put us in these situations of struggle where we end up alone in this type of contemplation because we're busy people. We fill our lives with things to do, places to go, projects to finish, deadlines to make, and appointments to keep. But every once in a while, we will be wise to shut the door and separate ourselves from all our stuff so that we can try to restore our souls. And God can even use these dark nights of the soul to help us become much more aware of who we are as children made in the image of our God. And God can use these struggles of the soul to realize that God is indeed our greatest refuge and source of strength. That depending on ourselves hasn't worked out quite as well as we once thought or believed. So we shouldn't be afraid of these dark and lonely struggles, even though it means we lose a night of sleep. Heck, you can get caught up on that during the sermon, right? Henry Nouwen, great theologian of our day, in one of his latest writings says, "I found myself in a hospital following a car accident. At first, I thought it was nothing. Then I was told I was bleeding internally and might not live. Surprisingly, I found the threat of death to be peaceful beyond my understanding. It was when I woke up from surgery and discovered myself still alive in this world that I became restless. In my days of recovery, I discovered I had some unfinished business of the soul. There were certain people I still hadn't forgiven. There were deep confessions I had hesitated to make. I realized I'd been living in denial of my own mortality. Suddenly in the night, someone seizes Jacob from behind and slams him to the ground in a bitter struggle for life. Rabbi Harold Kushner says, this stranger in the night is none other than the conscience of Jacob calling him to accountability. A former life of deceit, denial, and duplicity is finally doing him in. And here, alone on the muddy banks of the Jabbok River, he has to face himself. Tractor trailer rig was driving down a highway, got stuck under an underpass. The driver put his truck in the lowest gear possible, and he let out the clutch and revved the engine and tried to break free. Truck didn't even budge. He thought, well, maybe I'll have luck if I put it in reverse. He puts it in reverse, and he gasses the truck, and he tries to get unstuck from the overpass. Nothing happens. He's getting out of his big rig all frustrated, and out of a small crowd of onlookers, a little boy walks up and says, Mister, I know how you can get out from under there. And the truck driver says, Sonny, what do you know about big rigs? And the little boy said, well, if you'll just let the air out of your tires, you can pull out, fill your tires back up, and then drive away. Guess what? That's exactly what the truck driver did. He let a good amount of the air out of the tires, which lowered the height of the truck. He pulled forward and was able to refill those tires and continue on his journey. Underpass of your own making, it might be time to stop. Let the air out of not your tires, but your ego. Give yourself some extra room so that God now can enter that space and fill your life. And what He'll fill it with is His love, His grace. God can't fill you if you're full of yourself. It's been said that people all wrapped up in themselves make very small packages, and it's true. That night on the Jabbok River, Jacob was all wrapped up in himself. He needed to let the air out of his pride. And with the pride now deflated, God had plenty of room to come in and to fill. To fill with His promised grace. Careful reading of the text, however, lets us know that someone besides himself had Jacob in a headlock that evening. Jacob's wrestling with God. It's a tug of war, a hand-to-hand combat with the Almighty. It's fingers on the flesh, touching deep to the bone. Jacob wants a blessing. God wants a new person. Jacob wants a blessing, but God wants to touch and transform his life. Neither will let go of the other. And so back and forth they struggle throughout the night. When I read in Hebrews 10, verse 31, it said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And indeed it is. God can fill you, but you need to empty yourself of the pride that thinks it can pin God to the mat and get God to do exactly what you think needs to be done. We've all been there. You see, God-like religion will not do in a down and dirty and broken world. Let us never forget that Jacob's God will get us in the gut, punch our pride, grab our greed, level our lust, and demand our honesty and command our all, lest we stay stuck until we have finally agreed to let the air out of our tires and give God room to work His transformative love deep into our lives. A cartoon that I recently came across said, "Church Light," not Miller Light, said Church Light, "home of the 7.5% tithe, the 10-minute sermon, and the multiple choice commandments. Everything you've wanted in a church and less." Religion like that might make you feel good, but it's not likely to do you any good. It may provide you entertainment, but it's not apt to make any alterations in your life. If your life needs a complete overhaul, come to a God that wants your all. It's true, God's touch on Jacob's life left him with a limp. But he traveled out the next morning in full confidence and strength to face his brother, despite having no clue what the outcome would be. The stranger in the struggle asks in the night, "What's your name?" And Jacob says, "My name is Jacob." And Jacob literally translates grabber. He's a grabber, a heel, a supplanter, a trickster. "My name is Jacob, and my father is disappointed in me. My brother cannot stand me. My mother sent me away due to my crime. My name is Jacob, and if I can't be loved, I'll at least be in control. My name is Jacob, the driven one, the deceitful one, now the successful one, the powerful one, but also the lonely, and now the fearful." Jacob wasn't too proud of his name. Sometimes neither are we. Maybe some would name us drunk or dumb or lazy or pest or problem or promiscuous or mean or manipulative or victim, good for nothing, or even failure. And when that happens, boy, we would enjoy a new name. So, maybe these struggles in the night are not only necessary, but good. For out of it comes the new name Israel. It wasn't just a new label on an old jar. It wasn't just a dose of revitalization. It was a brand new substance in the very soul of a man who realized rather than needing more blessing, he needed God to touch his life and make him a new person. Jacob didn't arise to his old self that morning. He put on a brand new self to go face the brother he had wronged and the family he had hurt so long ago. And it reminds me of that scripture that says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, the old life has gone, the new begun. This morning, the call is to put your faith in the Christ who, in the midst of hate, transformed folly into forgiveness, meanness into mercy, death into life, a dead end into a new beginning. He can transform your wrestling into peace, your fear into faith, your painful past into a blessed present. What we need to do is just let go and let Him touch and transform our living. Amen. And hopefully our response will be that of faith, because God wants to bless us like He did Jacob. And so let us respond in faith by declaring what we believe. And let's do that using the words of the Apostles' Creed found in the bulletin. Let's announce our faith, not only to one another, but to the world. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to God with our prayers. God, despite our frailties and our mistakes, we are so thankful that we've been forgiven, that we've been not only washed clean, but made holy in your sight, so that we can come before you in any moment and in any way and enjoy your love. We're glad that you are so faithful to welcome us and greet us with your grace. We are also so thankful that you are so desirous to have a relationship where you can bless our lives so that we can become a blessing to others. So here and now, we just offer our praise. We offer up our gratitude. We are so joyous that our lives, perfect or imperfect, are held by you. Let us give up that control that we think we have, and may we allow you to mold us and make us more and more like the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world and gave it your mercy. Love that says it's not what we get, by what we give, that we discover the greatest blessings and make the biggest difference. We pray not only for ourselves, but for this world. We ask that your love would reign supreme, that your church would be used by you to make it known, that you would not only forgive us individually, but forgive these churches and our institutions that have oftentimes failed as well. But raise us up to live new lives and let the world see this new living that has been made possible by the partnership we constantly and forever have with your Holy Spirit. So heal us. And raise us up to live on that wonderful plane of faith as we make that adventurous journey toward our heavenly home. And we ask this in Christ's name, who taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Grab your bulletin and we'll go out there in the back singing those words, God be with you till we meet again. And then we will meet over in the fellowship hall for some wonderful food and fellowship. But let's stand and sing that together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen.